Matthew 11:28. For those among us who can't wait for me to do this, I'll be teaching out of the NIV version today. We have a couple of folks who really like the NIV. I tease you about it. It's a good translation. If you come from a legalistic background, you may have been taught that there's no real translation except the King James, the one that Jesus used. Amen. I heard that a lot. I'm sorry, but I'm guilty of preaching that for a while too. We were told the NIV stood for one of two things: either the non-inspired version or the nearly inspired version. Hallelujah! Actually, it stands for the New International Version. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah! Anybody besides me need a little rest once in a while? Hallelujah! I tell you, I'll give you a surefire way to become tired. Sit down and watch 30 minutes of news. Between the tired and the depression and this, it is just not a good thing to be doing these days. The Amplified version of that same scripture says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls." Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Sister Sharon testified here a couple weeks ago, and I thought about it all the last couple of days. I said, you know, the scripture says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." I think the operative word there was maketh. Hallelujah. There's a lot of ways I could go with this message today. But basically what I want to talk about here is that Jesus cares for people. You know, I think sometimes when we talk about serving God, we get so caught up in the service, we get so caught up in the things we do, the work and so forth. It's easy to forget that Jesus really, really cares for you. He cares that you're tired. He cares that you're worn out. He cares what's going on. He cares for people. And his care can be seen in the way he demonstrates his compassion, empathy, and sorrow while providing physical healing. See, Jesus just didn't walk by and say, "Be healed, be healed, be healed." He did a lot of that, but he ministered to the people. He actually cared about the widows. He actually cared about I got a personal opinion. I have a few of them. But the one I want to share right now is that when Jesus brought that boy back to life, he went to the funeral, raised the boy up. I think he had complete compassion on that woman. He had compassion on that boy's mama who was all by herself. And in those days, there was no social services. In those days, there was no one to take care of her. And I really feel in my heart, I could be wrong, Dave, but I think the compassion of Jesus said, "You know what? I don't want to bring this boy back so he can take care of his mama." Amen? Jesus actually cares. Now, that may be something new to your thinking, but Jesus cares for us. He's not some tyrant. He's not some overwhelming, overburdening type person. He wants us to have freedom. He wants us to have health. He wants us to be joyful. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I think we're in a really dangerous time, not just with the financial stuff that's going on, but just the stress levels that are present right now, especially in this country. I haven't been out of the country in a couple of years, so I don't know about the others. But the stress levels, it's just plain overwhelming. Amen, sister? I didn't write this because of our conversation the other night, but you stood me going, amen. All while we were talking, amen. Everyone is just overdone. Amen. We're trying to do it all. And God bless you, parents. You know, you're doing a really good job getting your kids out to all these different things, and that's important. I'm not here to knock it. But we get to a point, we look around and say, "Wait a minute, where's the me time?" Now, for most of us, I talked to some of you moms in particular, me time almost has a sinful ring to it. "Oh, I can't have any me time." You better find some me time. If you don't have me time, you won't have enough strength left for kid time or husband time. God forbid. Hallelujah. We need to learn to do that. And you know what? That's not just me talking. Jesus cares about that. Jesus cares. Even though people, in general, we are capable of showing these forms of care. We're capable of taking care of people. The problem we find with our stress-filled lives is we often don't take time to nurture relationships long enough to find out what the person's need is. Hello. I'm telling you, we are so busy. It's a phone call. I'll see you Sunday. I'll see you Thursday. We don't have time anymore. I don't know what's wrong in Dave Tyler's life because I hardly get a chance to talk to Dave Tyler. Amen? We just don't have the time. I think his wife wants me to talk to him. I'm not. I don't know, Dave. What can I tell you? We need to nurture our relationships. Can someone say amen? I want to read something to you about the capacity for caring. And this was actually posted on an online newsroom just recently. Ananova. I don't know what that is. I just found this. I was looking around. And this story comes from Hungary. Now, let me just say, I've never been to Hungary. I've flown over it many times. But I know I've been in Eastern Europe, and I know the basic poverty levels, okay? I'm gonna mess up the name, so if you're listening to this on the internet and you hear your name, I'm so sorry about this. An 85-year-old Hungarian is living in the streets after giving up his home and life savings to a children's hospital. Here we go. Joe Sarmez, I'm sure that's wrong, lives in a cardboard box after selling his house, all of his possessions, so he could buy an x-ray and a heart scanning machine for a hospital. He raised, this is in Eastern European money, he raised $185,600 for the Tuzolto Utca Children's Clinic in Budapest, where he used to work before he retired. This gentleman, I won't try to say it again, said, "I feel sad for those children who cannot live a full life because they're sick." Now listen to this. This is capacity for compassion. "I have lived 85 years, and now I think it's their turn to be happy. Whew. That's why I do not mind living in absolute poverty, knowing that at least they'll be better off. The Bible says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit?" James chapter 2. I think I got that up there. No, I don't. We need to be challenged from time to time, and this is the time I've chosen to do it. We need to be challenged to nurture other people. Can someone say amen? Now, I'm a firm believer that we need to work hard and have a strong family. Can someone say amen? We've got to have, if we don't have a family as a basis of ministry or basis of operation, we got nothing to give. First comes the family. That's got to be strong. But along with that, we need to be encouraged to make ourselves available to care for those who are outside our nuclear family. You know what a nuclear family is? Not one that glows in the dark. A nuclear family, that you're close, your husband, wife, children, your nuclear family. There are those beyond us, beyond that, that need our help. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. We're going to read verses 29 through 39. This is a familiar piece of scripture, it should be. Again, I'm reading out of the NIV. If you have an NIV, you can follow along. Hopefully you can read that on the board. Chapter 1 of Mark, verse 29 through 39. Give you just a second there, okay? This is the early days of Jesus' ministry. Now, I understand that no one here is Jesus, but I also understand we're made in the image and likeness of Jesus. And as we grow in the Lord, we grow in His grace, we're becoming more and more Christ-like, hopefully. And that does not necessarily mean walking around with an air of holiness, though holiness is a big part of growing in Christ. It's being able to do the works of God. I didn't pick out that scripture, but at one point the disciples looked at Jesus. What must we do to work the works of God? This is an example of a typical day in the life of Jesus Christ. As soon as they had left the synagogue, verse 29, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. That's a curious question, curious verse right there. We'll touch on that in a second. Very early in the morning, when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogue and driving out demons. Got the click, didn't I? I love technology. You know, in the very beginning of this scripture, we learned something here that I think is just noteworthy. I don't want to preach a whole long time on it, but it tells us that Simon Peter was married. He said, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, it's quite simple. He's got a mother-in-law. You know, you can't go to the mother-in-law store and buy one. You got to get married to get a mother-in-law. Yeah. Some of you are thinking about your mother-in-laws. Please, get off that real quick. The fact that his mother-in-law was living with him, it suggests a few things, okay? First of all, it suggests that she was probably a widow. And it also suggests that she probably didn't have any living sons. She was all alone. Now, interesting to me that Peter was not obligated by the law to take care of her. You look it up. Mother-in-laws didn't fall in that. But something in Peter wanted to take care of her anyway. Amen? Because if there had been any surviving males in her family, she wouldn't be living with Peter. She'd be living with her own son. But Peter, though he wasn't obligated by law, took care of his mother-in-law. Amen? It gives a little insight to Peter, as I was reading this the other day, that may be a little different than the picture I usually paint of him. Can someone think of Peter the compassionate? Kind of don't fit, does it? But there was something, when I look at these little scriptures, every once in a while, you know what I'm talking, you're reading, and all of a sudden this little light comes on, like, whoa, I've never seen that before. Why was Peter taking care of his mother-in-law? Well, some would say Peter's wife made him, but I doubt that. I think there was something in Peter that I'm not used to seeing. There was some compassion inside the man. He says, no, honey, your mother's not going to live in the street. Your mother's not. No, let her come live with us. Hallelujah. I said before that God calls people who are already doing something. Peter was doing something. He was taking care of. I think mother-in-law is qualified for being outside the nuclear family, right? It wasn't his wife. It wasn't his kids. This was a woman who he didn't have to take care of. He could have let her just do whatever. She could have been a beggar, whatever. But he said, no, come live with us. Now, I know there's people in this place here who've opened their homes to people. When we bring people into our home, it changes the dynamic of our home, but it gives us a chance to nurture. It gives us a chance to reach out in a way that somewhere in the Psalms it says God has set the lonely in homes or houses. What a scripture. What a thought that God takes people. This poor little woman who apparently had nothing left, Peter said, come on home. Huh, who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thought Peter would be that compassionate? Now, one other thing we find out is the mother-in-law's fever was apparently serious. Well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because I cheated and read some more about the Bible. In Luke chapter 4, it tells the same story, and it says that Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. That's what we just read. But here's what Luke the doctor wrote. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. Hallelujah. You know, I think there was something really cool in this. This is the preacher in me. This is where I'm headed right now. The fact that this woman was able to get up and start serving guests immediately after being healed demonstrates the completeness of her healing. Now, I got two thoughts I want to give you real quick and move on. One, when God heals you, he does a good job. God does not do half measures. Amen? He didn't say, okay, I'm going to pray for you now. Now take two aspirins and call me in the morning. He didn't say, lay in bed for all. And if you're laying in bed sick, I'm not knocking you. Don't get me wrong. I'm simply saying when Jesus does a job on you, he does a good job. Amen? And not only that, but once you've been touched by God, it should make you want to jump up and serve him and his people. Hallelujah. There's something. There's something that happens when we get born again. There's something that happens when we get saved. When I got saved, I suddenly realized I was not the only person in the world. There were people out there who had worse off than I was, who needed my help, and people I could help. There's some people I can't, but those I can, I want to. That's because Jesus first did a job in me. He did a work in me. Now, I want to be sure that other people know all about the Savior. I want to be sure they know about the one who healed my body and set me free from drugs and all the other things I was probably bound by. Hallelujah. A single day in the scripture hadn't passed since Jesus had healed the demon-possessed man in the synagogue. And if you want to read that when you go home, it's Mark 21, 21 through 27. Okay? Yet by nightfall, people from the town were bringing their sick to him for healing. This is just a matter of a few hours. Now, here's the thing I thought of. Without the help of CNN, without the help of Fox or CNBC, without K-Love Radio or texting, the word about Jesus spread throughout the entire town. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I see people, and I'm not picking on the younger generation, but you guys have got more nimble fingers, and you don't even look at them thinking, you're just texting away. I seen a thing on Dr. Phil the other day where one boy texted 125,000 messages in 1 month. And Dr. Phil said, there's nothing wrong with that. I said, are you crazy? The only question I have is this for you young people. What else did he do? 125. Yeah. Hallelujah. And God bless Dr. Phil, but he had the boy on there, and he asked him, he says, well, what kind of text do you send? That was all just typical stuff like, hi, how are you? You want to hang out? Well, here's my question. Dr. Phil didn't ask it. If you're texting 125,000 texts a month, when do you have time to hang out? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. Hallelujah. But without all those things, that's my little rant for the moment. Without all them things, they found out. In that culture, hallelujah, there were no electric lights. Have you ever been in a power outage? You know how you freak out when you can't watch TV and the refrigerator goes off? And you know how? Come on, we all freak out. These people didn't have them to begin with. So guess what they did at night? Not much. They slept. They read by the firelight and then they went to bed early. But everything was shutting down at nighttime, but not that night. There were no electrolytes. There was no aurora borealis. There was no angels providing light. But that night when the sun set, guess what? The Sabbath was over. Now, I found something here that just tickled me. Sabbath is a time of rest. When the Sabbath's over, it's time to work. Well, here's the work they did. At that point, the work of bringing these people to Jesus needed to be done. They did it. Let me just say something here in case you've forgotten or never knew this. Christianity involves work. Ministry involves work. It's just not sitting back. You know, today we're sitting back. We're hopefully getting a little inspiration and worshiping the Lord a little bit. But this is not all there is to Christianity. If this is all there is to Christianity, we're all doing the wrong thing. Christianity is work. These folks, the sick folks, the demon-possessed, I work in the health care field, mental health actually. And most people who have problems don't really seek help. Someone has to help them. Anybody out there? It's the same thing in spiritual things. Many times, most times, people who have serious spiritual problems don't look for help. They're crippled. They're maimed. They're all tied up spiritually. They need someone to lead them, someone to guide them, someone to help them. I wonder who's going to do that. Probably not the folks at CNN. Hallelujah. I'm not picking on CNN. I'm just simply saying they got their job to do. God bless them. Pray for them. Our job is to get up out of our restful positions and bring these people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe that's the problem. The church today, I didn't put this on the board. I want to read it to you myself. The church today is still on Sabbath. We're resting. And we don't know it's time to bring people to Jesus. Moving right along. Even though it had already been a very eventful day, Jesus took the time to meet the needs of all those who came to him. Hallelujah. He wasn't too tired. He wasn't too busy. Hallelujah. He didn't have any of those jolts or whatever those drinks are. I'm looking seriously at him. Now that I turn 60, I'm looking real serious at him. I'm Red Bull. Whatever, you know. He wasn't too tired or too busy to heal their diseases or to cast out demons or to set free those who were bound and addicted. Now, I want to say something. If you've never been involved in this kind of ministry, it's tiring. When I leave here on a Sunday, you may think I don't do much to pray around here and make noise, but I got to tell you something. When I'm done praying for people, I do that too. I'll laugh with you. Don't laugh at me. Hallelujah. But when I leave here, you can ask my wife, I'm totally exhausted. Amen? And if there's a long prayer line, man, it's just, oh, get me home. It's tiresome, but after working all day long helping people, Jesus still found a way to minister to others. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. I'm glad that Jesus is never too busy or too tired to help me when I need it. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. I'm just trying to show you what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Now some, I want to touch this real quick. Some actually wonder, I find this in books, I've talked to people, why wouldn't Jesus let the demons tell anybody who he was? Well, this is probably as many opinions as there are people, but I got one I'll share with you. I got it from a commentator, okay? He put it this way. Probably because he didn't want his identity to be known by demons, but rather by his own words and action. Jesus don't need the devil to tell anybody who he is. He wanted to show the people who he was by raising the dead, healing the sick, and loving people. Hallelujah. And you know what? When Jesus got done doing all that, they knew who he was. Amen. Perhaps that's the best way to drive out the devil and his crew. To do the works of Jesus. To let the salvations, healings, and deliverances speak of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. After a really rough day and evening, now I said before, Jesus found strength. I think this next bit of information here is probably where he got a lot of it from, if not all of it. Anybody here realize that Jesus was also a man? Okay, we won't get into that whole thing. He was made of the same stuff we are. He was tired. Apparently, I'm saying apparently, the Bible doesn't say, but he was right there, so apparently he stayed at Peter's house that night. But the Bible says that the next day, he didn't call in sick, or he didn't sleep in. Now, I'm not going to point a finger to anybody, but here's the deal. Sometimes we get totally tired out. We call in sick the next day. Amen? Or if we're able to, we try to sleep in. Jesus didn't. He got up before the sun to be alone, and he prayed. Now listen. I'm not going to beat you up with this because I am not an early riser. No. If it's dark, I'm asleep. That's all there is to it. Now, as the summer gets a little longer and we get more sunshine, I'll get up earlier. It's just the way I am. But Jesus knew the rest of his day was probably going to be like the last one. And if he knew his day was going to be busy, he says, you know what, I need to make some adjustments here. And the one thing he did, he found time by getting up early. All I want to say to you, no matter how you find it, find some time. Find some time to be alone. If it's 5 minutes or an hour, find some time. Now, let me also say this. Plan on it. Don't wait for it to show up. It ain't going to happen. Amen? We will find something else to fill our spare time with. I do it all the time myself. Make an appointment. Be spiritual. Make it with God. Make it with yourself. I don't care how you put it. Make an appointment. At a certain time, I'm just going to sit down with a book. I'm going to sit down and do something. I'm just going to sit down and veg. Probably should not be in a room with a TV, but I'm not going to beat that up either. Hallelujah. It's kind of hard to veg watching NCIS. I like it. But I'll guarantee you, when I'm watching Mark Harmon going through the screen, I'm not vegetating, okay? I need to remove myself from all that stuff. Jesus removed himself, and he prayed. But that's a sermon for another day. Jesus, I want you to think about this statement. It's kind of a bold statement. Hallelujah. I'm partially responsible for it, and partially from a commentator. Jesus needed personal communication with the Father. That part we're okay with. Listen to this. To maintain his perspective in the midst of the demanding crowds. Think about that for a second. We can get so busy doing stuff, we forget why we're doing it. We can get so busy doing stuff, we forget where the power to do it is coming from. Hallelujah. I can't remember the man's name. It might have been Francis Frangipane. I think it was. He tells a story of his traveling as a world traveler, world speaker. And he was in a series of meetings in a geographical area. And every time he'd go to a meeting, the same person would be there in front of him. And this guy would come. He didn't look like the kind of guy that was much of a prophet type. But he kept saying, I have a word for you. And the man kept saying, leave me alone, I'm busy. He just didn't want to buy into it. And I understand that. You know, some people want to give you a word. They just probably shouldn't do that. But this went on for several days. And finally, I had conviction or just got tired with it. He said, okay, what's the word? The word says, Francis, I miss you, saith the Lord. We can get so busy. I remember hearing Shambach and others preach like this. We get so busy. I mean, the sick are still getting healed. The demons are still being cast out. The sermons are still coming forward. But you're not drawing on anything. And before you know what happens when you don't stop and put gas in your car, don't you? Eventually, you're going to run out. Eventually, you got to draw power from someplace. I think it's easy, real easy, to lose perspective, to realize why we're doing this and what we're supposed to be doing. I mean, the question is, how do you keep your perspective in the midst of the craziness that you call your life? I think this is something we all kind of need to think about. Maybe it's prayer. Consider it. As he was praying, the Bible says that Peter and the others found him, and they presented him with more demands. That's why I said he knew he had a busy day yesterday. Today was going to be the same. And he knew it, but he prepared for it. He didn't wait till he broke down. He didn't wait until he had a meltdown. He said, you know, it's going to be a busy day. I'm not here. I'm talking to myself more than anyone else because I don't take enough time either. But if we don't take enough time, I know this from experience, you will crash and you will burn. I've been there, done that, and I tell you, you do not want that to happen. Okay? People talk about burning out. Burning out is not healed with a 1 week or 2 week vacation. It's a long psychological process. Okay? Be careful. It's for all of us, starting with me. You ever notice, I just kind of picked this out of the air, but you ever, here's Jesus, he's trying to pray. He's filling up his tank, so to speak. Do you ever notice every time you're trying to pray, there's somebody or something that's going to interrupt you? Hallelujah. Here comes Peter. Well, there you are. I wonder where you were. He was trying to load up to get ready for that day's work. I got to tell you something. My phone doesn't ring nearly as much any other time as it does when I'm trying to read or pray. If I'm trying to read the Bible, I'm trying to pray, the phone rings. Amen? Something's going to go on. Sometimes things that happen aren't bad. They're just distractions. When we got things going on in our family, that's not bad. When our kids are sick, it's not bad. But they are distractions, okay? Let's be honest with ourselves. They're distractions. And when distractions come, it's easy to get pulled away from Jesus. And the less time we spend with him, the easier it is to get pulled away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here they come. Jesus, come back to work. People are looking for it. This is something I found interesting. Something I want to bring to your attention, have you take notice of. Jesus was not interested in building his popularity here. Well, Jesus, they want you to pray for him. Jesus, they want you to preach. Jesus, you got a preaching engagement over here and over there. He wasn't interested in becoming popular. Now, I got something I want you to look at here. I want you to be careful, all ages. Be careful of that demon idol called popularity, because it'll keep you from moving on with God. If you get so tied up and wondering what the neighbors think of you, or your friends think of you, or your peers think of you, and I'm talking all ages, not just teenagers now. I'm talking to adults too. If we get so tied up with being popular and being accepted, it just might keep us from moving on. See, what Jesus did, he said, no, I can't go back there. I got to move on. We need to look at the same things. I can't stay here long enough to worry about popularity because I got to move on. I got things to do for God. Instead, he was ready to move on to where he could minister to people who didn't already know him. You know, this is hard to say as a pastor because this is more of an evangelistic statement. One preacher put it this way. No man has the right to hear the gospel more than once until everyone has heard it at least once. I want you to think about that. You know, again, strengthen your families. Be close to your friends. But is there someone outside that group who has not yet experienced Jesus Christ? See, that's who we need to look to. thank God we take care of our families. We make sure the kids are fed and clothed and nurtured, and all those needs between husbands and wives are taken care of and all that stuff. Jesus said, I can't stay here. They already know me. I'm moving on. I wonder how many people there are in this world who have not had a relationship yet with Jesus. I'm not talking about heard their name. I'm not talking about looked at TV. But actually had someone who loved Jesus talk to them about their relationship. Jesus knew his mission. He knew that people in other parts of the region had physical needs that he could meet, but he also knew those people needed to know who he was. It's fine to get healed. It's fine to preach miracles. I believe in them. We pray for them. We see them a lot. But Jesus is more than just miracles. Jesus is more than just healing. Jesus is a comforter. Jesus is the lover. He's the one who puts his arm around you when you're so hurting or angry or rejected or whatever. He's the one, hallelujah, to bring ministry to you. He continued, he shared his message of the coming kingdom and demonstrated his power by freeing people from their bondage to evil. Hallelujah. A little story here from Today in the Word. Talks about evil and what to do when evil's coming against you. In February 15th of 1947, Glenn Chambers boarded a plane bound for Quito, Ecuador, to begin his ministry in missionary broadcasting. But he never arrived. In a horrible moment, the plane carrying Chambers crashed into a mountain peak and spiraled downward. Later, it was learned that before leaving the Miami airport, Chambers wanted to write his mother a letter. All he could find for stationery was a page of an advertising on which was written the single word, Y, big letters. Around that word, he hastily scribbled a final note. After Chambers' mother learned of her son's death, his letter arrived. She opened the envelope, took out the paper, and unfolded it. Staring in her face was the question, why? This is no doubt the question that Jesus' disciples asked when he was arrested, tried, and crucified. And it was probably the question Joseph of Arimathea asked as he approached Pilate and requested the Lord's body. It must have nagged at him as he wrapped the body in linen cloth, carried it to his own freshly hewn tomb, and rolled the massive tomb into its groove over the tomb's mouth. In the face of grief, Joseph carried on. I want you to take note of that one sentence. You know, sometimes when we're doing stuff for the Lord or trying to do stuff for the Lord, we get opposition. When you look at what Jesus preached and what he said he was going to accomplish, and all of a sudden his life was snuffed, taken away. It must have left a lot of whys. So I don't know about you, but I ask that question a lot. Why? What's going on? Why can't we get over this? Why can't we get past this? What's going on? Joseph carried on. He did what he had to do. None of Jesus' relatives were in position to claim his body for burial, for they were all Galileans and none of them possessed a tomb in Jerusalem. The disciples weren't even around to help. But there was another reason for Joseph's act of love. In Isaiah 53:9, God directed the prophet to record an important detail about the death of his Messiah. The one who had no place to lay his head would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Joseph probably didn't realize that this act fulfilled prophecy. The full answer to the why of Jesus' death was also several days away for Joseph and the others. I read all that to get to this sentence. All he knew was that he was now a disciple of Jesus, and that was enough to motivate his gift of love. Oh, hallelujah. Are we busy? Yeah. Are we overdone? Yeah. Do we have enough to go around? Not always. But none of that really matters. What matters, we are disciples of Christ. We have a mission, and that alone should motivate us to get it done. Hallelujah. Too many times, we stand and ask why, when what we need to do is go forward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Jeff, could you play the piano for me here? Whatever you need right now, I want you to understand something, that Jesus cares and Jesus can help. So what's the need? All the resources of heaven and earth belong to God. And He's ready to share them to help you today. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Hallelujah. You know, lots of people care for us. We have mamas, we have grandmoms, we have kids. Most of us have at least someone who cares for us. Sometimes we forget that. But I want you to understand that nobody cares for you like Jesus does. You know, people give us good advice. Someone shared the other night about some good advice they got. But you know what? Jesus cares more for you than the person who gave you the good advice. See, but I'm hurting. Jesus knows that. And as much as, and you have to understand, I love my wife so much. She prays for me. She intercedes. She gets me through. But no, even my wife doesn't love me as much as Jesus does. Amen. Not only does he have love, but he has power. He has wisdom to go with that love. And with all those three, he knows what's best for us. Hallelujah. Jesus is tireless as he cares for our needs. Where everyone sitting here is human. You call me when I'm tired, you're not going to get a very good prayer from me. You might not get me to answer the phone. But in 30, almost 1 years, Jesus has never, I've never gotten an answer machine. I've never got a busy signal. And I never had him hang up on me. He's tireless. Thank God he is. So what I want to ask you today is, what cares, as we close, do you want to leave in Jesus' capable hands today? We're not going to have a long line and everything, but where you're sitting, I want you to think about the things you're struggling with. You may have struggled with them a long time. I got things I've struggled with for most of my Christian life, and I'm going to keep struggling until I win. But I need help. It may be a feeling. And you may have got yourself into, for some reason, into an impossible situation. You ever back yourself into a corner? I have. But I want you to think about that, and I want you to think about this. You're welcome to leave here and take a home with you. Or you can place in the hands of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, I do believe wholeheartedly that God is going to move in a miraculous way today. And as we come unto him, he will put his burden upon us and take ours away. I haven't preached that in a long time. Someday I'll have to preach it again. There is a burden to Christianity. But the yoke of the Lord, the burden of the Lord, is a lot less than the burden we carry without him. Hallelujah. I also want us to think about this as we're praying. What can we learn about caring for others from Jesus' example? I think most people I talk to, I really do believe that most Christians I talk to really want to do something for God. And most of us want to do even more than we're capable of. But instead of giving up, why don't we do this? Let's just cry out to Jesus. For some of us, our fear of commitment, based on past experiences, keeps us from going forward and helping other people. I don't have to ask for a show of hands, and I won't. How many people have ever been hurt in relationships? Once you're hurt, you don't want to have them again. God can do that for us today. Hallelujah. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. Pause. Anybody, don't raise your hand. Anybody here overburdened? Got too much on your plate? Got too much going on? Anybody here old enough to remember the Beatles? Used to sing a song that said 8 days a week. I used to wish for 8 days a week. I no longer wish for 8 days a week because I would fill day number eight with more stuff. I'm glad there's only 7 days and they're only 24 hours long. But I still got to get more done. There's people. I'm overburdened. But he said, I will cause you to rest. I love this. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Let's bow our heads for a moment. What cares do you want to leave with Jesus today? Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. What cares? What problems? What situations? Hallelujah. Jesus is there. Maybe it's with you. Maybe it's with a loved one. Maybe it's home. Maybe it's job. Maybe it's career. Maybe it's just wanting to spend more time with Jesus and can't seem to find a way to do it. Part of it's discipline. Part of it's prioritizing. But sometimes we just need divine intervention to get that stuff straightened out. What do you want to leave with them today? I know there's not a mother in here who doesn't love their child dearly. But I also know that sometimes it gets overwhelming. It does. We need help. We need refreshing. We need strength. And what can we learn? How can I help others with the strength I receive? Father, we give honor and glory to you today. We thank you that in your love, in your wisdom, and in your divine plan, you sent Jesus to do something I could never do. I'll thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sacrificed your life. You gave your life so I could keep mine. And Lord, you've also given us an example of what it's going to take to spread your good news throughout the world. Father, those of us amongst us who are burdened, overdone, overwhelmed, I pray today for divine intervention. For those who simply have too much to do, Father, I ask that you would supernaturally cause us to become less busy. For some, it'll mean decisions. For some, it'll mean stopping doing things that we like doing. There'll be sacrifice. But I know with your divine intervention, with your power, grace, love, and mercy, it's possible. I do pray for everyone who seriously this day wants to spend more time regenerating, praying, reading, just vegging. I pray you'd make a way. Show us in the next 7 days an area where we can make a change. Give us the boldness to change, and then deliver us from the guilt of taking some time off. Help us to relax our thoughts, our bodies, our emotions. And Lord, as we rest and as we recuperate and regenerate, I pray you'd renew our vision, our sense of mission, and our sense of destiny. There are many who have not heard, nor seen, nor experienced anything of the kingdom of God. I pray we would not be too busy or too tired to be able to share those things with others. Fix us that we can fix others. Heal us that we can heal others. Deliver us that we may bring deliverance to those who are bound. Hallelujah. Can we all stand to our feet for a moment with our eyes closed? And let's just raise our hands and worship Him for a moment. Sadly to say that the next couple of moments may be the only rest you've had this week. But I want you to take your minds off your children, your family, your finances. I want you to take your mind off tomorrow's school and job and what's going to be required of you. And just for the next moment, if you feel comfortable raising your hands, that's fine. If you're too tired, when I'm real tired, I just kind of raise my hands halfway. Hallelujah. Just soak in. Just soak in. Soak in the presence of Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, move across your people. bring release and relief. Hallelujah. For the next few moments, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to relieve and release everyone in this room from any responsibilities for the next few moments. Just totally, totally set us free. No sense of duty, no sense of responsibility. For the next 3 minutes, no bills, no problems, nothing. Just close your eyes as you were able to. Soak it in. If it helps to focus, you can quietly to yourself say, praise the Lord Jesus. If silence comes easy, then enjoy it. Just relax. Relax.